morning, church family. Have you enjoyed being in the Lord's house today? Amen. Thank you to those who lead us in worship each week. And it is a great day for us to draw near to Him and to worship Him. And I think it's also a very appropriate day for us on Mother's Day to honor the women that are a part of our church family. And so I hope today that the ladies here will feel honored and appreciated. I believe that when God gives His blessings, that as believers we should return thanks, shouldn't we? And so as we think about the ladies that fill our church family, we want to thank the Lord for them. And I hope today is an encouraging day for each of you. I know that Stephanie has already mentioned that it's a day with a variety of emotions, and we understand that. We want to be sensitive to that. And so I pray that as we open up God's Word today, that it will be something that rests upon you in a way to bring encouragement and to bring joy and appreciation as well. I know that on Mother's Day, we look for opportunities to give honor to our wives, to our moms, to the women that are in our lives. I came across something recently that I thought was an interesting and maybe a bit of an unusual way for a mom to be honored. Let me see if the guys will put a picture up for you. This guy was the Kevin Durant was the MVP of the NBA a few years ago, and so he was receiving the award as the MVP for the entire league. And as he was doing so, he stopped for a moment and he turned his acceptance speech into a tribute towards his mom, who was seated in the audience. And in fact, if you have some time to pull it up online, you would probably be touched by seeing. In fact, if you look at the next picture, you can see he was brought to tears as he was addressing her. And what he did is he reflected back on his life. And he remembered his life as a little boy with his brother and his single mom and the challenges that they had. And he recounted ways in which she sacrificed and provided for them. And he said to the people present, he said, "I don't know about you guys, but I tend to look back to what brought me here." And he was taking time to look back to see what had happened in his life to allow him to be where he was standing on that day. It was a very, very touching time as he recounted the influence and the sacrifice that his mom showed in her love for him. I don't think that any of us here could overestimate the influence of a mother's love, her sacrifice, her care. Obviously, Kevin Durant, he got it. He understood it. He was able to look back. And I hope that today, regardless of our circumstances and our situation, that we're able to look around and give thanks. And again, for some, it may be a difficult day, particularly if you've lost your mom. And maybe you don't have her to be able to speak to. And so we pray that God will give care and blessing regardless of where we're at today. I want us to take some time to honor the women in our church by looking at a very familiar passage, a well-known passage, but I will contend is also a very misunderstood passage. And so I hope today that we can look at Proverbs chapter 31 in a different light than maybe we've looked at it before. As soon as I say the words Proverbs 31, I know for many people, and many ladies in particular, they begin to think of a checklist, probably. All these things that this person was doing, all these things that maybe I'm supposed to be doing, and that I'll never be able to do, or never be able to measure up in the way that this was written. But I want to tell you, church family, Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10, is not written as a checklist. You know what it's written as? A poem. Have you ever written an acrostic? You know what an acrostic is, where you take the first letter of a word and you begin to write poetry. And so if we were to do what was done in Proverbs 31, the author took 22 Hebrew characters from the beginning to the end and thought about 22 different things that he could say as a way of giving tribute to his wife. That's what this is really all about, is giving tribute. And so what would we do in our context? We would start at A, and we would write something that comes to mind that starts with A, and then we'd go to B, and then C, all the way down until we got to the letter Z. That's what this passage is. It's not a checklist. It's not a to-do list. It's not a measuring stick. It is an opportunity for one person to give a word of honor and tribute through poetry, through God-inspired poetry about the woman in his life who had been such a blessing to him. And so today, I want us to look at it in that light. We know that the book of Proverbs speaks a lot about character. It speaks about wisdom. In fact, this summer, we're going to be taking some time to look at the book of Proverbs week by week over the summer months. And we will see that in this book of wisdom, there's a lot of examples about character. There are some people that are examples of poor character, making poor decisions, and not living for God. There's people that we are warned about in the book of Proverbs. Just read near the beginning, and you'll find it there in chapters 5 and 6. But here towards the end, we're given instruction about not who to be warned about, but instead who to treasure, who to honor, the kind of person that is living with God's wisdom, that's living for the Lord. And so it, I think, was perfectly situated there at the end of the book as a final reminder of what it looks like when a person, and specifically in this case, when a woman loves God and gives her life in service to Him and the opportunities that He provides. So I think it's a message, obviously, that we can look at for women, for mothers, for wives. I think there's be some pieces to it there that apply and that speak to you. But it's not exclusively a message for moms and wives. If someone is single, if someone doesn't have children, I think there are characteristics here that Proverbs 31 can speak to. I think for young women, it's a passage that you could look to and say, this is a picture of what a godly woman looks like. For young men, in being told throughout the book of Proverbs what to look for in a woman and a wife, this here is a summary of a lot of other passages that are found in the book of Proverbs. So I really believe as we look at this passage, as we look at this acrostic, that there's something here for each of us. And in the end, I hope that it's encouragement that we find, something to build up, to strengthen, and for the women of our church family to take a special day and to give a time of tribute and honor to each of them, and for us to have an opportunity to say thank you for who they are and what they mean to us. So I invite your attention to Proverbs, and we'll begin looking in right around verse number 10. Why do people write acrostics? Why would someone write a poem to another? John Piper says in this particular passage, he says, we write these because we like to pile up praiseworthy attributes of people we love. And he uses the picture of stringing pearls. And he said, it's as if like one pearl is one verse, stringing it together and allowing that to be something that gives honor to a particular woman in this person's life. Betsy Rasucci wrote a book. She's a co-author of a book called Love That Lasts. And she said that when she first heard this idea that this chapter was written as an acrostic, it brought on a whole new meaning in the way that she had typically looked at that passage. She says, now I see it as something that is praiseworthy, something that inspires me, knowing that even if I don't sow or buy my food from merchant ships, which we'll be reading about in a minute, or dress in fine linen, I can do this. I can fear the Lord. I can seek to do what is praiseworthy before the Lord. I can posture myself to work on the beauty within, to fear the Lord and rise to the example of this Proverbs 31 woman. It's no longer a list of impossible dreams, but now it's poetry created to inspire me. And so I hope that we can look at it today and we can see that it's meant to be a blessing, meant to be a way to promote honor and to give vision about the word, the way God works in the lives of a godly woman. Well, let's look at the first point this morning, and that is coming from verse 10. It says, an excellent wife who can find. So you could put excellent as the first point, or you could put strength, which is really the Hebrew word that's there. It's sometimes translated excellence. Sometimes it's translated strength. In fact, this word kail is speaking of ability or capability. In Exodus chapter 18, it's a word that was used when Moses appointed judges. He described them with this word, meaning the strength, their moral strength to make good judgments as judges. And so there are a lot of different ways that this word could be translated, but it's speaking about ability and efficiency and moral strength. In fact, the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, took verse 10, and instead of saying an excellent wife, they referred to her as a woman of force. Do you like that? A woman of force. Can anybody look back at their moms and think that description might be fitting? I can. There were a few days that I can look back and say, yes, my mom, all 5'1" of her, was a woman of force when she had to be. And I felt that force at times. And I think probably some of you among us might have as well. Think about that strength, that godliness, that virtue. It is a strength of force, but you know what else it is? Look at the end of verse 10, and we see that it is also a treasure. It says she is far more precious than jewels. So within this strength, we see not only virtue, but we also see value. And don't we live in a day in which we need to be encouraged to value one another even more? And to place value on the things that really matter. Because there are a lot of competing voices out there today to tell us what we're to look like as a woman or as a man, right? A lot of voices out there that try to define. But here we have this virtue and strength that's spoken of, the wisdom that comes through the book of Proverbs, culminating in this chapter, this acrostic. We see her strength. We also see her character. Look at the beginning of verse 11. It says, the heart of her husband trusts in her. And I underline that word trust because it speaks of the fact that she has a trustworthy character. She is one that he has full confidence in her. There is trust based upon who she is, and he has no doubt in the kind of person that she is. It's part of her character. Other parts are also emphasized. If you look at verse 13, there's a whole section here from verse 13 to 18 that speaks of her willingness to meet the needs of others. It speaks of her abilities, of the many different ways that God has gifted her to be able to do a whole variety of things. And as we read this chapter, we got to remember, it was written in an ancient time, wasn't it? And so in a modern setting, it might be described differently. But there are some traits that just come right through the text, that whether someone was living a few thousand years ago or today, that we can see the character, we can see the ability that is being spoken of. Again, as an acrostic, looking at different things that this man is thinking about as he's writing the poetry and thinking about all the different things that this lady is doing. Now, is she doing it in a 24-hour period? What do you think? No, of course not. This is more like the writing of someone's life, not the writing of someone's week, right? This is in general looking at the different things that she is a part of, and to be able to honor her with the diversity of ability and the willingness to serve people inside her home and outside. So let's read verses 13 to 18, and we'll get a glimpse of what he's trying to communicate. He says, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. Are you tired yet? Look at all that she's a part of. Now, again, this isn't meaning to describe a day in the life, right? This is talking about, in general, things that she's a part of. You see elements here of things within the family, helping within the family. You see elements of being out in the community, maybe even a small business being referenced here, and buying of fields and harvest time and crops. You see a whole lot of things. This is a woman, as God has created every woman, with a multitude of talents and abilities, being able to use them in various ways. And so again, this man is reflecting and he's writing about 22 things in his acrostic, of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit in order to give honor. I hope that we can see the great latitude which this woman has. Her husband understanding her abilities and her talents were God's gift to her, but also to be shared with others. He's applauding her abilities. He's complimenting her and seeing her as a compliment to him and to the family. But it even speaks about the fact that that she is very persistent. She is very willing to be involved in many things. And so whether you read those verses and they remind you of your life specifically or not may depend on your circumstances, but you can probably relate to the fact that you are juggling a lot of different responsibilities, right? I think each of us can relate to that, but particularly women, right? All the different responsibilities that you're managing and balancing and dealing with, there can be times that life can just plain be exhausting, can't it? Maybe for a few of you, I can see your head nodding. Okay. I read about these two boys that wanted to give their mom flowers for Mother's Day. And so they saved up some money. They went to the store. They found just the perfect bouquet. They brought it home. They presented it to mom, which of course she was delighted to have. And she looked at it and she had to read it twice, but the ribbon on the side said, "Rest in peace." And the boys looked at it and said, "Mom, we saw this and we thought it was perfect because you're always seeking a little peace so that you can rest." And so they picked that one out. And so maybe you say, yeah, I can relate. I could use a little peace. I could use a little rest. Well, as we look at the character, we note that she is a motivated person, absolutely trustworthy. But there's another aspect that I'd like to point out before we move on. Look at verse 20. It says she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. Doesn't that also speak of her character? An example that she has a heart for God by having a heart for those who are in need. Thinking not only of her own family, not only thinking about her own needs, but to have an eye that notices the needs of those around her. I just think that speaks volumes of her character. Look thirdly at her influence. Verses 23 to 27. This, I think, is in part what Kevin Durant was speaking of when he talked about he was the man he was because of his mom's influence. As we read these verses, we see that this man also recognizes the influence that his wife has upon him. He says that who he is in part because of who she is. Verse 23 says, "Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land." I know it's an ancient verse, but what would that speak to today? Probably someone who is in leadership, someone who has responsibility, someone who is respected in the community. And he's saying that this is the case because of her influence. She is a contributing factor, that she is one who is helping him be who he is to be. We looked at this a few weeks ago when we went back to the book of Genesis. And we saw that the men and women, husbands and wives in particular, are interdependent upon one another. They are complementary to assist and to help each other in life. What was true then is true today. And so as we read Proverbs 31, we can recognize the influence that a wife has upon her husband, but also upon her entire household. Look at the beginning of, at verse 26 and the beginning of verse 27. It says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household." Think about the influence here. It speaks of the fact that she has wisdom that's being shared, her speech being tempered with kindness. She is the kind of person that speaks the truth in love. Let us not underestimate the importance of a mother's words to her children. In fact, I would say that the mother is the source of the greatest amount of influence upon a child. God designed it that way, for there to be tremendous influence and impact that takes place from the mother to the child. In fact, it's been noted by others. Listen to what William Ross Wallace said. You've probably heard this before. He said, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. What does he mean by that? He's seeing that the influence of what that child will be like, in large part, is happening because of the influence of that child's mom. Abraham Lincoln said it this way. He said, "I regard no man as poor who has what? A godly mother." He sees the blessing that is there for the child who has a godly mother. Strength, character, influence. Number four, let's look at reward. Verses 28 and 29 in particular. There is a reward. It says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all." You see what's happening? There are specific words of thankfulness and gratitude being given, honoring who she is, thankful for what she has done in their lives. She is being held up in a place of great honor for all that she contributes to their lives. Several weeks ago, our children did a musical here. You probably hear that day and remember all the things that they had to memorize. I read about a little boy that was in a musical, and he had to memorize some lines, and his mom worked with him to get ready, repeating the lines back and forth. And he said, "Mom, I'm worried that maybe when I get up to the front, I'll get nervous, that maybe my mind will go blank and I'll forget what I'm supposed to say." And she said, "Well, let's do this. How about I sit up near the front, and when if at any point you need help, I'll just whisper the line. You'll hear it, and then you can say it." And so that gave him a lot of encouragement that he wasn't out there on his own. So he went up. They were doing the play. He was doing just fine. Finally got to a point where he got so nervous he froze, and he forgot the scripture verse. And so what did he do? He looked over at his mom, and she gave him the cue. She gave him the verse, "I am the light of the world." And then he remembered, and he stood back, and his face was smiling, and he said, "My mom is the light of the world." Now, maybe she's not the light of the world, but maybe she's the light of your home. Maybe she's the one that brings light into the world. Maybe there's some truth as we think about what that little boy said. There is light. There is influence. There is strength. Folks, I want to tell you, don't wait to give appreciation. Speak words of encouragement to your mom, to your wife, if you have opportunity today, but also to the women of our church family. And just think how fitting it is for us today as we gather, yes, to worship the Lord, yes, to honor Him, but to also recognize His blessings among us. And today gives us one of those days. Well, we've looked at four characteristics, but what is the real secret to the woman who is described in verse 10 as excellent? Look at verse 30. "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." That's the secret. All of what we've read about is an expression of the Lord at work in her life and through her. That because she fears the Lord, she loves Him, she walks with Him. That this is the greatest thing that could be said about her, is that she has a heart for God. And that comes through in the way that she lives her life. We could see this in our day to say that she knows the Lord Jesus Christ. She trusts in Him and that she's living for His glory. As she impacts her family, her husband, her children, as she impacts the community or her church family, that it is an expression of the grace at work in her life, flowing through her and touching the lives of those around her. So yes, we do come. We give honor, we give appreciation, and we recognize God's hand of blessing among us today. Would you bow with me as we take a moment to pray and to ask specifically for God's blessings upon the women that are part of our church family. Lord Jesus, we give You thanks for Your word. We thank You that it is so practical, that it is so helpful in helping us navigate the paths of this life. We thank You for the wisdom found in the book of Proverbs and specifically the acrostic that we looked at today, the poetry that brings honor to godly women. And Father, I pray that You'll take these words today, that You'll use them to build up, to encourage, to give assurance to the women of our church family. God, we thank you for them. They are a blessing to us as a congregation and also to the families that represent our church. So God, may you give a very special blessing to each one. Lord, may you come and minister today, knowing that there may be other thoughts, other emotions, other memories that come to mind. Lord, may we bring them all beneath your cross, and may we allow you to be the one that is at work in our lives and within our church. God, we thank you that we've been able to worship you today, not only as we sing and as we pray, as we open up your word, but also as we give. And so we pray that you'll take what is given today in tithes and offerings, that you'll bless it. May you use it to further your kingdom in our community and around this world. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.